BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been amazing. I mean, the Biden administration has become unglued since the United States Supreme Court affirmed that there is no right to abortion that's granted in our Constitution. Well, as a result, the president is trying to use executive orders or rulemaking authority from his cabinet departments in an effort to force hospitals and force doctors to violate the Hippocratic Oath and perform this gruesome procedure that takes the life of an innocent human being, a baby. Protests have been taking place in cities across the country, even in small town America. I went through a small city here over this past weekend. There's two people standing on a downtown street corner, you know, bearing signs. You'll see things like "My Body, My Choice" or other such cliches in an effort to gain support for the killing of children. What a contrast to the unalienable right to life that's mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. Yet there are mistruths that continue to be spoken, and efforts are going on even to codify Roe v. Wade into law. Well, addressing these and related matters, we welcome back to Crosstalk Dr. Tara Sander Lee, Senior Fellow and Director of Life Sciences at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, an organization that's dedicated to policies and practices to protect the sanctity of human life. She's a scientist with some 20 years experience in academic and clinical medicine with an emphasis on the cause of pediatric disease. She obtained a Ph.D. in biochemistry from the Medical College of Wisconsin and fellowship training at Harvard Medical School and Boston Children's Hospital. Dr. Sander Lee has published in various medical journals and textbooks, including her recent co-authored manuscript in the journal Issues in Law and Medicine, The Perinatal Revolution. She's a contributor to the book Choose Life, Answering Key Claims of Abortion Defenders with Compassion. She's got a powerful chapter entitled Knit Together in a Mother's Womb, The Biology of Prenatal Development. We'll be talking more about that. But she also served as molecular pathology inspector for the College of American Pathologists and scientific consultant for various entities, including Milwaukee County Medical Examiner and Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. Dr. Sander Lee, thank you for joining us here again today on Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It really is a pleasure.
I'd like to have you first address news that's come out this week, if you have any information. I don't know if you do or not, indicating that Chief Justice Roberts privately was lobbying justices to save Roe v. Wade from being overturned. It said he tried to persuade particularly Justice Kavanaugh and to a lesser extent Amy Coney Barrett. While there have been some denial of this, it's kind of disturbing to hear, but do you have any information on this, or do we know if there's any truth to these allegations?
You know, unfortunately, I am not privy to that information, but, I mean, the fact is that Roe was not constitutional. It is not constitutional, and that's why it was overturned, right? So we know now that this is now goes back to the states. The American people now are going to decide the issue of abortion through their elected officials in the states and in Congress. So I'm not sure of the details of what's going on, of what happened leading up to that point, but we now know that it is back in the hands where it should be of the American people, and that's where it needs to be. And now, you know, people need to stand up, because we know that the majority of Americans do not want to have the government telling us that these women, you know, have to have a federal right to abortion. We know that in the Constitution, like you said, there is no constitutional right to abortion.
Yeah. Are you surprised, though, to the extent that the Biden administration is going on this? I mean, we have Health and Human Services proposing this rule on the basis of termination of pregnancy, an action that would actually force doctors and hospitals to perform abortions and employers to cover abortions in their health insurance plans. To me, it's rather shocking to see the extent that they're going through to see that this baby killing continues.
Yeah, I mean, it just continues to show how extreme they are and how extreme they are to impose on the entire country abortion on demand for any reason up until the point of birth. I mean, even though they know the facts that, you know, yes, this kills an unborn child every single time, there are risks, serious risks to the mother if she undergoes an abortion. And so, but they're just continuing to follow the same playbook that they just they think that there is nothing wrong with the killing of an innocent child, and there is something deeply wrong with that, and they are continuing to try to impose that on the entire country.
And as you know, they've been campaigning for the codification of Roe v. Wade. I mean, Vice President Harris has been doing that. I'd like you to listen to a statement that she made. It's kind of interesting where she says that women are getting pregnant every day, and this is a real issue. Here's what she had to say.
To put it in law, there may be litigation, but we will be in a much better position than to not do that. And, you know, listen, women are getting pregnant every day in America, and this is a real issue, and we need to act with a sense of haste about what is at play, what is at stake, and codifying Roe will be an important moment in terms of putting back in place protections for the folks who are at risk right now because of what the court did in Dobbs just weeks ago.
I mean, newsflash, women are getting pregnant every day, and it's a real issue.
Right. Yeah, and it's like, and that's naturally, you know, women are, you know, yes, this is not a newsflash. Women do get pregnant, and it happens every day. And so it's just, it's amazing how there's so much fear and fear mongering right now, and just the fact of even trying to make people fearful that people are getting pregnant.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's crazy.
Well, the vice president also has met recently with Pennsylvania lawmakers and essentially said that unborn babies are not real human beings. And I know there are many medical textbooks that prove life begins at conception, that babies before birth are human beings. You contributed to this book, Choose Life, recently released, and you wrote a chapter entitled Knit Together in the Mother's Womb, The Biology of Prenatal Development. And I'm wondering, Doctor, if you could help those who are taken in by comments like these from the vice president that leave one thinking that whatever is happening inside the mother is not an actual human being. I mean, there are those who believe that one doesn't become a human being until one is born or takes the first breath outside the womb. They say the fetus is not a person. Could you address this, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they do. And they're going out of their way to try to convince people that the baby growing inside is not a real baby, that this is not a real human being. And it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, we know that they are trying to dehumanize and devalue the unborn child in order to justify the evil of abortion. But the scientific truth is that from the moment of conception, when the sperm fuses with the egg, there is the creation of a new, totally distinct human being that is alive. And because of advancements in ultrasound and medical technology, we can now visualize that developing baby inside the womb throughout pregnancy. I mean, we know that, you know, the baby is alive and a human being from day one at conception, but then as early as 3 weeks and one day after conception, that unborn child already has a beating heart. And by 8 weeks, she already has over 4,000 body structures, including fingers and toes. This baby can respond to touch, feel pain, taste, has fully formed nose, lips, eyes, eyebrows, can suck their thumb, fingerprints by as early as 17 weeks, developed as soon as 17 weeks after conception. So the fact that they are saying that the unborn child is not a human being is just flatly a lie. And that was one of the main reasons why I was so honored to be able to contribute to this and writing this book chapter for this book, because it's so important that people are equipped with the truth, especially at this time when there is so much misinformation and lies going around.
Well, how many times have we heard from this administration, follow the science, follow the science, but are they not being science deniers by saying this is not a human being?
Yeah, they absolutely are. I mean, the truth really is inconvenient for them. If they use dehumanizing words, if they can create doubt in the mother, if they can ignore the science, that's the only way that they can really salve their own conscience and really support this really evil act of destroying an unborn child, a human being, inside the womb. It's the only way I think they can sleep at night is if they can ignore the science, because it is inconvenient for what they their extreme pro-abortion agenda to, and but it also just also creates doubts in other women, and then they go forward and then make this decision.
This book, Dr. Choose Life, just provides many answers for a number of claims that are made by the defenders of abortion. But one of the big ones that's out there, and we're seeing this on signs, we're hearing this chanted, screamed out at times, my body, my choice, my body, my choice. How can we answer this?
You know, I think this book does just such an amazing job in explaining that it really isn't my body, my choice. There are two people anytime you have a pregnancy. There are a mother and there is a child. They have distinct DNA. They are unique. And yes, that baby is developing inside that mother, but they are two separate people. At the molecular level, we even know that there is what's called microchimerism, which is explained in this book, that there is the sharing of cells between the mother and the child, and that lasts for years after pregnancy. So as much as that mother might, if she chooses to abort that child, there are still remnants of that child living with her every single day. And I think it's important to know that there are people that recognize every day that there are two patients when it is convenient, or in cases we see that advancements in science over the past 50 years have recognized that the unborn child is a separate patient and they offer life-saving care before birth. I mean, so it's just incredible that when it's convenient, they ignore the fact that there's two people, and it couldn't be any further from the truth that that's just my body, my choice. There are two people every single time involved.
Now, we're talking in different blood types?
So we're talking completely different DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking that from the very moment of conception, that baby has a unique genome that is separate and distinct from the mother. And we know that even if we look at Psalm 139, King David wrote that our frame was not hidden from God when made in our secret place and knit together in our mother's womb. And what's amazing is that what the Holy Spirit revealed to King David when he wrote that psalm, that then decades later, the structure of DNA, the blueprint of life, was discovered. And it was discovered that its structure was like two ribbons of genetic material woven together. So in the same way that, like, so it's just incredible that even the Holy Spirit revealed early on that we are distinct human beings from the very moment of conception inside our mother's womb.
So we hear those and said, I shouldn't be forced to be the host for this thing inside.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Yes, there are those who will say, I should not be forced to be the host for this thing inside.
Yeah, I mean, this is a human being. This is a human being that is precious and has dignity and value. I mean, we know that all human beings are created by God in his image, and this is not a thing. This is not an it. This is a human being distinct, a gift. I mean, just like the Bible says in the Genesis, we were created in the image of God. And in Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. So there is a human being, distinct individual, a person from the very moment of conception, and that is a gift that is given. It is not a parasite. It is
right.
A human being.
Dr. Tara Sander Lee is with us here today on Crosstalk and discussing the book Choose Life, discussing the objections, I should say answers to the objections that people are raising as it pertains to abortion. We're going to be dealing with a number of things here on the program today, including ectopic pregnancies and miscarriages and other related issues as well. So stay with us. We'll also share with you after the break how you can obtain a copy of this powerful book entitled Choose Life. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what's involved in being created in the image of God?
Chris, being in the image of God is more than just being a two-legged, two-armed creature. There's some sense in which God uses a human form to express his own nature, like the arm of the Lord, but God does not have a physical body. I suspect that the image of God deals with our spiritual nature, our appreciation for beauty and ability to love, and our ability to love and reject God, and of course, our eternal soul. A recent research project identified perhaps another aspect. It was shown that those people who love others and provide emotional support for others live longer themselves. These are godly qualities, and maybe that's part of being the image of God. If we live like that, it's beneficial. You see, Chris, even the way we act, it all goes back to Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to the program Crosstalk here on VCY America. Our guest today, Dr. Tara Sander Lee. She is one of the contributors to the book that's entitled Choose Life, Answering Key Claims of Abortion Defenders with Compassion. There have been a number of authors that have come together, those from a variety of perspectives. It is one in which you have experts in legal, biological, medical, ethical, oral, philosophical, and biblical, all defending life. This book, Choose Life, and really deals with a lot of the objections that are going on and that you're hearing in society today, whether from politicians or those screaming on street corners. The book entitled Choose Life, Answering Key Claims of Abortion Defenders with Compassion, is available as one of the books of the month at the VCY bookstore, just over 400 pages. It came out just recently at a retail of $17.99. But through the end of this month, July 31, 2022, and that day is coming very quickly, the bookstore is offering this book and has been all month at 50% off for just $8.99 plus any applicable tax and or shipping. Now, the fastest way to take advantage of this is to go online at vcy.com, vcy.com. Or you may call the bookstore. They've got just a single line going in, but call. If you get a busy, just call right back. The number is 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. They're open weekdays, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time, Saturday 10 to 4, closed on Sunday. But Dr. Sander Lee, with this being just 50% off, $8.99 is quite the bookstore is desiring to get this into people's hands, and what an economical way to do it.
It is. I mean, this is really a powerful book, like you said. I mean, it contains 20 informed essays by pro-life scholars, physicians, researchers, other leaders. That, I mean, this really couldn't be more timely to really help engage with the major arguments of abortion defenders. And I can tell you that these arguments really haven't changed over the years. They're coming back with the same arguments. So this really can be a handbook, that a resource you can have, mm-hmm. and you can come back to over and over again. And don't feel like you need to read the whole thing. Each chapter is distinct to handle major arguments that are being made, like you said earlier, you know, my body, my choice. The fetus really isn't, the baby growing inside really isn't a human being. You know, we really come back with compassion and love and truth to provide crisp, documented replies that you can share with a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, a family member, that in very thoughtful, factual, compassionate way, but also biblical too. I think that's what's really important mm-hmm. here. And it's also, you know, there's also some really personal accounts here and stories. I mean, when you hear people make claims like, well, what about the case of rape and incest? Then it should be, abortion should be allowed. Well, you know what? There's a really powerful chapter that from a woman that herself was conceived in rape, and then she, through the horrific act of rape, then she then went through and chose life for her child. And it's just, it's a very, very powerful book, and it's just an incredible discount that you're offering.
And again, folks, the bookstore has done this. They worked with the publisher in order to do that, to get it into as many hands as possible. And as Dr. Tara Sander Lee mentioned, it is really there to get it. It's a resource. It is a guide. And somebody throws something at you, you can say, I thought there was a chapter in the book on that. You can certainly refresh yourself with that. But dealing with so many of the objections that are out there today. And again, it's vcy.com, vcy.com, or calling 1-888-722-4829. And keep in mind, the end of the month is coming very, very rapidly. Doctor, there is another objection that has been raised by many, and that is, I shouldn't have to raise an unwanted child. Every child should be a wanted child. That by aborting this child, we're going to keep that child from abuse or neglect of some sort. How do you respond?
You know, I think what's really interesting, and the chapter in this book really gets at this, that, you know, a lot of people are often driven to abortion because of pressure, mm-hmm. because of fear, because of their situation. And yes, every circumstance is going to be different. You know, every woman is going through something different. But at the heart of that, there is often fear and there is often pressure. But what's really powerful, I think, about the chapter that really looked at this is that at the heart of this, that baby really isn't unwanted, right? When that woman has the support and the compassion and the care that she needs in that moment, you know, that giving her the option to kill her child is not a solution. That's just adding to the problem. And I think that was really a powerful moment, I think, in that chapter to say, you know, yes, there are some really extenuating circumstances, really difficult ones that as a society, you know, we need to look at. But giving her the choice of abortion and that being her only choice is not going to help the situation. And if she's given some help and the support and love and grace that she needs, that baby is no longer unwanted. She just needs help. And I think, you know, it's really important to look at some of the resources that they do have, the real options that they have. I mean, we know that there are pregnancy resource centers. And the book actually goes into talking about some of these resources that are just, you know, incredible. And throughout the United States, you know, we know just even in Milwaukee, you know, CareNet Milwaukee, they provide free pregnancy tests, ultrasound scheduling. They help them. They walk them through this pregnancy. They provide them material needs if they need it. We know that there are also federally qualified health centers and rural health care centers that help. And, you know, what's really important is that these community-based health clinics and pregnancy care centers, if you compare them to Planned Parenthood, there are 14 community-based health clinics offering comprehensive women's care and pro-life pregnancy centers for every one Planned Parenthood facility.
Wow.
So they outnumber Planned Parenthood 14 to 1. So this is where women are really going to get the help that they need when they are facing these really, really difficult circumstances so that, you know, and for God, nothing is unplanned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything, a baby is a gift, pregnancy is a gift, and so for God, nothing is unplanned. And so it really is then helping these women walk through these situations.
And you know, on this issue of pregnancy care centers, I mean, they have really been targeted. There are people like Senator Elizabeth Warren. She's been leading the charge against these pregnancy centers and has called them, she calls them deceptive, calling upon the government to take action against them. And one press conference, she said, these are deceptive outfits that front for groups that are trying to harass or otherwise frighten people who are pregnant to keep them from seeking an abortion. And they do so under the cover of pretending to offer abortion services. I mean, they're really in the crosshairs of the likes of Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is that she's absolutely, quite frankly, is just ignoring. Either she hasn't taken the time to really learn about what these pregnancy care centers are doing, or she is blatantly lying about it because she does know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that these pro-life pregnancy centers help those in need. They support these women facing really difficult circumstances with medical care, referrals, education, mentoring, material support. I mean, we know that in 2019, locally operated pro-life pregnancy centers served roughly 2 million women, men, and youth with nearly $270 million in services at little or no cost. So these are the facts, and so it's absolutely untruthful than to show violence towards these centers that are really there to help women, to give them the real choices that they need. So that they don't feel like abortion is their only solution.
Yeah, and how heartwarming it is to hear the likes of Coach Harbaugh at Michigan, who has told his players, he tells players to reject abortion. He said, if you can't raise that baby, we will. I mean, referring to his wife and himself. I'm really putting his money where his mouth is there and saying, we will take in that child. We will care for that child. And certainly there are so many like that we talked about, you know, every child who wanted a child, those children are wanted.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I mean, adoption is a very real solution. I mean, I know just in with my own family, you know, my mother faced a teenage pregnancy and she was pressured to abort. Well, she chose life and she adopted that child out. And it's like, you know, these are family. This isn't just one life that's saved. There are many lives that are saved because then that just, you know, that one person touches so many lives after that. You don't know what God has planned for that person. So it's just, yes, there are so many other options there. Killing an unborn child is not the solution. That is not the solution. That only causes, I mean, we haven't even touched on all the physical and mental risk that, occur, you know, if a woman undergoes an abortion. It's not, there's always two victims. The baby always, you know, the goal is to deliver a dead baby, but then the mother is also a victim because there are some serious long-term and short-term risks to these women.
Well, comment on that. What are some of these physical and mental risks?
So there's some really, really critical data that the media is not talking about. So we know that if a woman undergoes an abortion, that there are serious physical risks. We know that there are some of the physical risks are uterine perforation, possible cervical laceration, infection, hemorrhage, even death. There are definitely cases of maternal death after undergoing an abortion, and that risk rises the later in pregnancy that you have that abortion. There's also risks such as a future pregnancy complication. So we know that women that have an abortion, that there is a higher risk of then in future pregnancies having what's called a preterm birth. So that baby is born prematurely, and there's definite concerns because that baby then might have some severe health issues that need to be accounted for. There's also, we also know that there are definitely increased overall risks of mental health disorders in women that undergo abortion. We know this because there are studies that show an increased risk of suicide, increased risk of depression and anxiety and stress, elevated risk of psychiatric disorders. So this whole mantra that abortion is safe and there's no harms, it's just, it couldn't be further from the truth. They are hiding this data. They are, and some of the studies that they say over and over again, like there's this turnaway study that they keep going back to. It was a study that looked at the mental health risks associated with denied abortion. So women that were denied or turned away from an abortion. But the thing is, since then, that study has been thoroughly debunked. I mean, there was a paper that just came out earlier this year that thoroughly debunked that study. But the thing is, those that support abortion, they continue to come back to this flawed data over and over again, and it just keeps...
And they've been doing that for decades. I mean,
they've been doing it for decades.
A blob of tissue, a non-life, you know, just it's like a cancer. It's just like cutting out, you know, a cancerous cell. I mean, how often those you know, invalid arguments continue to be made today, even though they've been disproven as false?
Yeah, and that's why this book is so important. I mean, people need to understand that the truth is out there. But there is some effort that's involved. I mean, we need to educate ourselves. We need to equip ourselves for this battle ahead. I mean, just because Roe was overturned and we are now in this post-Dobbs era, that doesn't mean that the battle has stopped.
Right.
I mean, this just means, you know, abortion is not banned throughout the United States. We now know that the contrast between two ideological worldviews in this post-Dobbs era could not be more evident. I mean, we have states and institutions that will go out of their way to protect the violent destruction of these unborn children by abortion. And then we're going to have states that are and institutions that are going to preserve and so we're going to have those that are going to protect and those that are going to absolutely not protect these unborn children. So it just couldn't be more clear.
We're going to take a quick break. And, folks, after the break, we're going to deal with some of the scare tactics that are being utilized today, too, dealing with ectopic pregnancies or miscarriage, that the reversal of Roe is not going to allow women to get the medical care and treatment that they need. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Part of the Thief in the Night series, here is a clip from A Distant Thunder.
Your right hand, please. That trick, young woman, is used in here 50 times a day. Now, if you want your child cared for, you must have your ID.
I can't take the mark. My baby is dying.
The Thief in the Night 4-part prophecy DVD set is available from VCY America as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $25 or more. The set includes A Thief in the Night, A Distant Thunder, Image of the Beast, and Prodigal Planet. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829 or order online at vcyamerica.org.
book is called Choose Life, Answering Key Claims of Abortion Defenders with Compassion. Folks, this is a brand new published book, and our bookstores obtained multiple copies. They have contacted the publisher, have worked out an arrangement in an effort to get this brand new book into the hands of many. We just saw the U.S. Supreme Court reversed Roe v. Wade, coming to the conclusion that, as we do a search on the Constitution, we don't find the words abortion in there. There is no constitutional right to an abortion. Well, June 24th was their decision from the court, and what a powerful book to have available during this month of July. And again, they have it at half off, just $8.99 through the end of this month, plus any applicable tax or shipping, available at vcy.com, or calling 1-888-722-4829. Dr. Tara Sandra Lee is with us today. She is the Senior Fellow and Director of Life Sciences at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, and she is one of the contributors to this book. It's put together a powerful chapter about being knit together in the mother's womb. And that term knit is really appropriate, is it not?
Yeah, it is. I mean, because it goes right back to how God designed every human being inside the womb, and we are knit together. I mean, even if you just look at the DNA, how we're woven together with DNA from the very moment of conception. I mean, the sperm and the egg have half the amount of DNA that they need to be a human being. The moment they come together in conception, that completes the process, and a new, brand new human being is conceived.
Amazing. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist wrote. Marvelous are thy works, in that my soul knoweth right well. Doctor, we're hearing more scare tactics that with the reversal of Roe, that this is going to ban women from medical care. It's going to ban them from treatments. They'll not be able to access care for pregnancy complications ranging from ectopic pregnancy to miscarriage. Is that truth or is that fiction?
No, it's absolutely fiction. And you really have to go and look at the facts and not fear, because the truth is that in high-risk pregnancies, all state pro-life laws have exemptions to save the life of a mother. And the fact is, modern medicine makes these situations thankfully rare, but when they do occur, there is no legal or medical question that her life can be protected. But I think the more important point is that there's never going to be a medical reason to deliberately destroy the baby in order to save the life of a mother. There may be circumstances or life-threatening situations that require a separation of a mother from her unborn child to occur. And yes, this is less common. This is not, but the goal is to try and save both the mother mm-hmm. and the baby. Mm-hmm. The goal is not going to be there's never going to be a reason to deliberately destroy the baby in order to save the life of the mother. And even if we look at an ectopic pregnancy, medical care for an ectopic pregnancy is not prohibited by any pro-life law, and it's not treated the same as an abortion. Even Planned Parenthood admits that treating an ectopic pregnancy isn't the same as getting an abortion. And I think it's also important to know that even pro-life OBGYNs who practice their entire career in hospitals and do not do abortions, they have never been prevented from safely treating an ectopic pregnancy. And again, it's separating the baby from the mother. And unfortunately, if the baby is pre-viable, the baby won't survive. But the goal is always to try to save both lives.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Friends, we're going to open our phone lines, and if you've got a question that's been sparked by our discussion here today or a brief comment, our telephone number to Crosstalk is 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. All you have to do is pick up a newspaper or put on the news, and you're going to see these signs that are being waved with all these different slogans and mantras on them, objections to Roe v. Wade being reversed, etc. And this book, Choose Life, really addresses so many key claims of abortion defenders and does it with compassion. One other issue here, Doctor, and we've seen this again come from Vice President Harris. She wrote that supporting abortion on demand does not require anyone to abandon their faith or their beliefs. Is that statement biblical?
No. I mean, everything in the Bible points to, we know, God the Creator. God created human beings in His own image. And He also goes out of His, it also clearly says in the Bible that anytime that there is the intentional harm of an innocent human life, that is completely opposite of God's design and plan. His plan is for life, not for death. And so anytime anybody's trying to convince themselves that abortion is okay, I mean, all you have to look at, that's just Satan just completely deceiving, because everything in the Bible points to God giving life, not harming these innocent babies that are human beings from the very moment of conception and have beating hearts. They feel pain. They are created in His image and fearfully made with a purpose and a plan. And anytime a human being is deliberately destroyed, that interrupts and it interrupts a design plan that God had intended.
And we need to keep in mind the efforts that are underway as we speak. It's already passed the House of Representatives, but it's to codify Roe v. Wade, and not just codify it, but take it well beyond in that as well, where they really want to make it the law of the land here, Doctor, where anybody could take the life of that unborn child up until the moment before it would be naturally born.
Yeah, it really is true evil. I mean, you can't describe it any other way. I mean, anybody that thinks it's okay to kill an innocent life for any reason at any point, right up until the point of birth, it's absolutely pure evil.
My. Well, Dr. Tara Sander Lee is with us today, and we're taking your calls at Crosstalk 800-733-9829. We have an anonymous caller from Wisconsin. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
I couldn't agree more with you guys about it being pure evil. I was the victim of a sexual assault some time ago, and as a Christian, I didn't want to go forward with the pregnancy because I was faced with two things. One of, oh, where's dad at? And then I had to talk about, you know, the situation, or, you know, people are going to be like, oh, look at her. She was, you know, being promiscuous, and now she's pregnant, which then I didn't want that to damage my testimony. So at first I was like, I'm just going to quietly put this away. And so I did, like, go ahead and make an appointment with a abortion clinic, and I have never encountered such coldness on the phone. You know, remember, you always hear the commercials, you know, that they care about women and they're there for women, and that is such baloney. They don't care about you at all. Like, never once did they ever be like, how are you doing? What's going on? And I actually kept my appointment right up until an hour before I was supposed to go in. And they told me that the day before my appointment that they would call me, a counselor would call me and go over some things with me and answer any of the questions that I had. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. And I was so looking forward to that because, like, a thing that happened to me, I was in such anguish in my soul. And I was like, oh, good, I don't know who to talk to, because at that point I hadn't opened up to anybody, not even my family. So I was dealing with this alone. It's like, oh, finally, someone's going to talk to me and help me through this. And literally, when that person called me, they read off, they're like, hey, is this so-and-so? And I'm like, yep, that's me. And they're like, okay, and they read it off a piece of paper. Do you have any questions? I said, absolutely not. And she's like, okay, and thank you. Hung up. They didn't even tell me have a nice day, just said thank you and bye. And then I just remember sitting there thinking to myself, and you guys are going to say that you're here for women, that you care about women? And then when they told me that it would cost me almost $1,000 just to kill my own child, I was like, you guys are so full of it on so many levels, it's not even funny. And when I heard the lady earlier make that comment of that little to no cost, I'm like, yeah, you're not going to see that from an abortion clinic because they don't care. They don't care about you, because why? You guys nailed it right on the head. They are completely demonic.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like we had talked earlier about the community-based health clinics that are really there to help women. Like you said, Planned Parenthood's true motivations toward women and their children are made plain by the fact that they have already closed several facilities because of overturning Roe, this post-Dobbs. In contrast, these pro-life pregnancy centers, they're continuing to serve mothers. And so, like you said, what you, I'm so sorry of that, you know, what you went through. But unfortunately, it fits what so many other people are saying and what their experience has been, that they are not there to help women. They're really there to just support this extreme ideology that it's okay to destroy innocent life.
So, caller, you canceled.
I actually go ahead, sir.
You canceled your appointment then? I mean, you didn't show up?
I sure did, because I was born again August 22nd, 2015, and, like, in my spirit, I was completely troubled, because, I mean, I've always been pro-life. Even before I was a Christian, I was pro-life. And I, at that point, I like completely shut God out, because it's like, if I actually went to him, like, he's going to tell me point blank, hey, what are you doing? You can't do this. And so I like, for those first 4 months, 5.5 months, whatever it was, before I finally told anybody, like, I completely shut God. I'm like, no, I don't want to have to come clean with this. Yeah. I just want this to kind of go away. Like, it never even happened. No one's got to know. And I remember, not to get into too deep in the testimony, I'm sorry, I'm out of time limit. But anyways, I was, remember, an hour before my appointment, I was in northern Minnesota, and it was snowing to beat the band. I remember just looking out the window, watching the blizzard go on, and it was just like, finally, after all that time of being alone and not keeping God out of it, I just remember crying out, like, actually vocally crying out, like, God, what do you want me to do? Like, I don't know what to do right now. Like, I don't want to bring this child in here, because I know it's going to be tough raising her, but I know I can do it. But, like, what am I supposed to do about my testimony? Like, what am I supposed to do this and all of that and blah, blah, blah. And it felt like he sat down right next to me on the bed and put his arm around me, just like the day I got saved. And he looked at me and he's like, you're going to be fine, because I got you. I'm here for you. I will take care of you, and you don't have to worry about it. I am the father to the fatherless. And I just remember saying out loud, okay, Jesus, we got this. And I packed up my bag that I packed, and I went back home, and that was the end of it. And I, praise God, I had a beautiful daughter, and she was, I mean, just a picture of health, and everything was perfect. She's perfect, and Jesus is perfect, and I couldn't be more happy with my decision.
Amen.
And that's why I had, you know, I've gotten in debates with people about this before, prior to this situation. I'm like, I don't care if you've been raped by your family member, you know, and now you're impregnated, or some random stranger. Two rights don't make a wrong, period. And so that, you know, that was always my argument. Like, I'm sorry that that happens. You know, it's just unfortunate with, you know, where we're living right now. You know, sins in the world, and this stuff happens. And, you know, it is what it is, I guess. But that doesn't make it right. I mean, it doesn't make it right at all. So I'm going to go ahead and kill an innocent human being just because someone else decided to sin. Like, that's just, it's wrong. And then, you know, I feel for these women because, like, even though I didn't follow through with it, I still had there for a while that guilt that I even went that far. But I have put that to bed. So it's like, you know what, now I can come forward like I am even today and telling everybody, see, this is evil, and now I can tell you people from experience that this is evil. I don't have to, you know, well, you know, I guess I haven't had it happen to me, so I could be wrong. No, I had it happen to me, and it is not the thing to do, all right?
Thank you.
And this is, someone told me this, and this actually blew my mind away, but after I canceled the appointment, I told someone, and they looked at me like, you know, I've been trying for over 3 years with my wife to have a child, and we haven't been successful. And then you go ahead and you have one flyby chance where this happens and you get impregnated. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. There are stories nonstop in the Bible where God is opening and closing wombs.
Yeah. I tell you, and I appreciate your call here. I do have to move on. We're up against a break here. But thank you for your boldness and declaring it. Thank you for choosing life at a time of great trial in your life. And thank you for sharing that with our listeners.
Praise Jesus. Thank you, guys.
Amen.
Thank you.
Okay, we got to take a quick break. We'll be back in 1 minute. We'll pick up more of your phone calls. Dr. Tara Sander Lee is with us here today discussing the book Choose Life. Back in a minute on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There are three steps that the communists are using to carry out their ongoing revolution in America. Now, let me make this very clear. There are many plans and many processes, but there are specifically three steps I want to concentrate on today that the communists are using to carry out their revolution in America. Number one, formal communist education. Most of our schools, elementary schools, as well as high schools and colleges are giving young people, now for decades, a heavy dose of communism under such names as common good or social justice. Number one, formal communist education. Number two, self-criticism and criticism of America. America now has been declared a racist nation, an evil nation. We're called to criticize ourselves as Christians and conservatives. And then number three, the censorship of reality and truth. These are the steps for a communist revolution.
Dr. Tara Sander Lee with us here today on Crosstalk, one of the contributors to the book Choose Life. And, Doctor, this issue of rape is actually picked up in this book. I believe it's chapter 13.
It is. Yeah, it's entitled But God Intended It for Good, Finding Purpose in Pregnancy from Rape. Very powerful story, similar woman who was gang raped, and she was pregnant, and actually through that trauma in choosing life, she found peace and purpose in her son, Caleb, and she shares this story. And so there's just like that very brave caller told her story. There are other stories like that in this book.
Let's go to Julie in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, that was a wonderful story, and I thank you for hearing that story. What a blessing she's going to be to many people.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, you said that you had a mother, you have a mother that had given birth to, she ended up pregnant and not wanting the baby. Do you know that child now? Is she reunited with that child?
She is. Yes. So then actually, later in his adult life, he, made contact with my mother, who is, and he's now, you know, my older half brother, and he is now reunited with our family.
Yeah.
Almost 40 years later, he searched for her, and, we have been reunited ever since. So now I've met his family and his children, and it's just, it's actually been remarkable.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie. John is next. Go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you so much, Doctor, and thank you, James. In your book, the word is compassion is used in the title.
Mm-hmm.
In my discussions with a few people, if I say I'm pro-life, I am screamed at and beyond belief, and I'm sure you've both gone through this. Their eyes pop out at you. They scream and scream some more. You can never say three words. A lot of things in life are unwanted. 3 feet of snow, the price of gas. I'll hang up. Yeah. How do you deal with these people?
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. And I saw a video clip a bit ago here, Doctor, of pro-lifers that were standing up for life and somebody coming in front of their sign and just screaming, I like killing babies. I like killing babies. I mean, but just obnoxious screaming going on. Go ahead and address that issue.
Yeah, I mean, and it's true. It's everywhere. I mean, you see it in the protests. You see it in some of the horrendous articles. Like, they're not apologetic about it at all. I mean, they will write articles saying, yes, it is killing innocent life babies, but that's okay. You know, I think prayer is really important.
Yeah, yeah.
I think when you come across people that are just not going to listen, I think the only thing, honestly, you can do is pray. And it's not too late for anyone's heart and mind to change. And you really, I think, have to just pray that God will intervene in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if somebody does give you the opportunity to speak, that's when you just speak in kindness and love as much as you can. Maybe if they're not going to listen, you can just even point them to a couple websites, so that they on their own time, maybe if they're too proud to admit that they're, you know, willing to get some truth. So I do think for each person, it just might be anywhere from prayer to sharing as much information as you can, and then just trusting that the Holy Spirit's going to work in their life when the time is right.
Chris is our next caller. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me. How you guys doing today?
Fine, thank you.
Awesome. Hey, reason for my call, I just want to preface, I very literally take scripture, and I believe that every part of scripture supports the entirety of the word, and the parable of the Good Samaritan outlines perfectly who my neighbor is. He's not the thief that beat and robbed the man, and he's not those who walk by who ignore the man dying on the side of the road. He's the one who helped the person out.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to say is I believe that our Messiah and Paul and John and every part of the New Testament tells us that we're supposed to keep and guard the entirety of the Torah, just as every single prophet says. And the Torah not only says that rapists should be put to death, but it also says very clearly in Genesis, right in the Garden of Eden, and right after the flood, the very first commandment given, which people often overlook as commandments, is be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody denies themselves the opportunity to be fruitful and multiply, to live to an older age, is while those communities often experience higher rates of suicide from mental illness and depression, but it's also tremendously sad.
Thank you, Chris. I think we get your main point here. Of course, God's Word addresses this, and sometimes we are treating Dr. Children as a curse today, but indeed, be fruitful and multiply, and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
Yeah, and I think, and the other thing, as a caller mentioned, the whole law is fulfilled in, as Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
So, and actually, the very first chapter of this Choose Life book really digs deep into scripture and law, and that the law of Christ is the more excellent way, and that our, when a woman is pregnant, that neighbor is that child inside of her. And so, there is there is that responsibility to protect that child. That is her closest neighbor at that point.
We've got just 75 seconds left. We're going to try and squeeze Holly in, who's been holding. Holly, you're on the air.
Thank you so much for this program today, Jim, and to you, Doctor. I have a question. As somebody who's running for state assembly, this is something that's really near and dear to my heart, and I feel that women are being misguided. As you had mentioned, something I really think about is post-abortion syndrome and these poor women who have been told it's just a procedure you can do and forget about it for the rest of your life, but we know they don't do that.
Yeah.
And it just breaks my heart. So I was curious, is there any ideas that you have, or maybe you've already done this work with legislators who would like to draft legislation that is centered around educating women on the truth about abortion?
Okay. Thank you, Holly. We've got 30 seconds, Doctor.
I think, yes. I guess the short answer is yes. There are definitely legislators, especially now in states that are going to protect the unborn, that are going to go out of their way to try to help women get the facts and information before they make this horrible decision.
And indeed, that's one of those issues you can bring up with legislators who are campaigning, seeking your vote. What will they do to preserve life? We're out of time. Dr. Tara Sander Lee with us today. The book entitled Choose Life, available through the VCY bookstore. A special discount through July 31, vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. Doctor, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day.
And folks, a powerful book to give you those answers, to answer those claims of abortions, who are defending abortion, and be able to give those responses with compassion. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.